If you turn again to 1 Kings 19, I announced this morning I'm commencing a series of studies tonight dealing with the subject problems that people face and how they may be solved. The first one that we're considering tonight, the first problem that people come up against that I want us to consider is the problem of loneliness. Let me give you a dictionary definition. A problem is anything, any matter or person that is difficult to deal with, difficult to solve or overcome. I think you'll agree that there are any amount of them, any amount of problems to perplex us constantly, and we will consider a few of them these Sunday nights from the light of God's holy word. Problems are really not meant to overwhelm or overcome us, but rather we are meant to overcome them. And they can be solved, no matter how much they baffle or bewilder or perplex or vex us at any time. God's word will show us how. I want us tonight to give some thought to this particular problem of loneliness. Don't pull down the shutters. You might say, that doesn't include me. I'm not a lonely person. I don't even know what it means. But there may be others here that do. But let me tell you something. You may not know anything about loneliness now, but as life goes on, as circumstances develop, loneliness can hit any one of us. And so it's good for us to be, as the saying goes, to be forewarned, because to be such is to be forearmed. There are two things I want us to notice about this problem of loneliness tonight. First of all, the experience of it. I start with a definition. It has been described as unhappiness, a state of unhappiness as a result of being without the companionship of others. And again, I'm quoting a dictionary definition. Understand that being lonely is not the same as being alone. There are many people that can be lonely in a crowd, maybe a party, maybe a social, maybe a function of some kind. A lot of people all around them, but they have no heart for it. They're shot through with loneliness. Other people can be very much alone, can be given to solitude, and yet not feel lonely. There was an old invalid man, and he could hardly move in his bed, and people would come to visit him, and he was asked by a person on one occasion, "Do you never get lonely?" He looked at the person, then he looked at his wife, and then he looked back at the person, and he says, "Wife here will tell you that I never get lonely. How can I when I've got the best friend of all with me?" And I'm not just referring to my wife, I'm referring to my unseen friend, seen by the eye of faith, who's with me always in this room, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that was tremendous. And yet there are other people, and they have lots of people moving all around them, but they cannot get rid of that awful feeling of loneliness. You can even be lonely in a church service like this, although I hope what is said tonight and what we consider tonight, that will change. And it can change for you if you're afflicted in that particular way. I was reading of a certain man who put an ad in a paper. It wasn't a hoax. It was true. He put an ad in the paper advertising that he would pay £3 for anyone who would come and sit with him for half an hour and talk to this person for half an hour without any interruption. Inside a few days, the man got 10 to 20 calls. So serious did the people take it. And so much afflicted with loneliness did the man be that he was willing to pay for company to come in and help to cheer him up. But then what are the causes of this loneliness? Well, first of all, there's the obvious cause, that of death, bereavement of a loved one. I do not need to dwell in this, but we have many people in this church who have lost near and dear ones to them over the years. And you certainly don't need anybody to tell you the feelings of loneliness that you would get at times because of the removal of that loved one from your presence. And then again, there's another reason, that of departure. And I'm thinking of people who rear the children and the nest has cleared and people don't have the children now and may not have grandchildren and they can become very lonely. Such was a person that I read off today in a poem, and I want to quote you what she wrote. It was more a prayer. Listen to what she says. Just yesterday, it seems, my children played upon the floor, and I wiped countless fingerprints from window pane and door. I kissed away 1,000 tears and darned sock after sock and tried to keep pace with the hands that raced around the clock. And often, when at end of day, too tired to sleep in bed I lay, I'd think how nice when, children grown, my time again should be my own. So now I sit and rock alone, my hands at rest, the work all done. No little tots upon the floor, no fingerprints upon the door. No socks to mend, bruises to kiss. Ah me, how could I know I'd miss the very things I grudge to do? Dear God, if only there might be someone again who needed me. That's loneliness, my dear friend. And people can feel that, not only because of death, not only because of the departure of family, but because of displacement. Somebody may have to leave the place where they have lived for years and move elsewhere. And I'm not referring so much to the people who do that in response to the call of God, although that can be a factor. But maybe business takes them away. Or maybe because of age, they can't live in the house any longer. That was home to them for many years. And they have to go elsewhere. And the surroundings are so unfamiliar. They're lonely. I think of people who, because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, were persecuted and they had to leave the surroundings that they loved so dearly, the Puritans, the Covenanters, and the great martyrs of the Christian church. But let me draw your attention to some of the sufferers in the Bible. We have read of one here tonight, Elijah, a man who was a giant for God, who stood for God in the dark day of apostasy, who was used to being alone. For instance, whenever he went in before Pilate and said, there is not going to be rain these years according to my word. And then just as quickly as he came in, he went out again and he fled to the brook Cherith. And there he was sustained by God by the water of a brook, and a raven brought him bread and flesh every day. Then the brook dried up. Then he stayed with the woman of Zarephath. And then the time came, he had to present himself to Israel as God's man and challenge the apostasy of the king and the people. And oh, the might of that great man of God, that servant of God, when he called down fire at Mount Carmel upon the sacrifice that had been doused with water. What a victory. And then he went further up the mountain and cried unto God. 7 times he did. And then the servant said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And that was enough for the prophet. He said, up, there's a sound of abundance of rain. And he ran the whole way in front of the chariot of Ahab back to Jezreel. And then word was sent to him by that wicked woman Jezebel. She said, I'm going to kill that prophet of God for what he has done to my prophets. And whenever Elijah heard that, he fled. He fled into the wilderness. He left his post of duty, went down under a juniper tree, and then he ended up in this dark cave to which I'll refer further in a moment. But there's a man that was oh so lonely. Let me tell you about the Apostle Paul when he was writing to Timothy the last letter just before Paul's martyrdom. He says in that fourth chapter, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me and fled. Not only did he not have the companionship that he needed, but they positively deserted him in his hour of need. When he said my first answer, he meant his hearing against the Roman authorities. Not a familiar face among them. There was a lonely man. He knew what it was like to be lonely as far as human comfort was concerned. Let me tell you about David, who is a tremendous type of the man of sorrows. Listen to these words from Psalm 31, verse 11 and 12. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, the device to take away my life. And there are different psalms in which David voices the awful loneliness he experienced because of those circumstances. Let me tell you about Hagar. Hagar was one to whom Abram was married, child was born to, not the covenant child of promise. Sarah and Abraham thought that God needed some help in speeding things up. They were promised a child, but there was no sign of the child, so Sarah hit on this ruse. It didn't work out. But Hagar, the mother-to-be, was dealt very hardly with. Find the story in Genesis 16. That dealt very hardly with, and she had to flee, and she was heartbroken. And God, the angel of the Lord, found her in the wilderness, cheered her up. The baby was born, and then later Isaac came along to Abram and Sarah, and the child of the covenant, the child of promise, was resisted and persecuted by Ishmael, the child of Hagar. And as a result, Sarah says she has to go. And that woman and her baby were abandoned. It broke Abram's heart to do it, but God said, go on ahead, this is of me. But there in the wilderness, God met her again. But oh, she cried her eyes out, but God had mercy on her. But the point is, she knew what it was to be lonely. Look at John on the Isle of Patmos, an old man, banished for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Deprived of the means of grace. Deprived of fellowship with God's people. Away far from the haunts and the places that he knew and loved. Banished there in that isle because he was a servant of Christ. But what about the Lord Jesus himself? Coming into the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And then later on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus knew what loneliness was. And every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows has a part. Let me just say one other word about this experience. We've seen its definition, its cause, its the sufferers of it. Notice the effects of it. It brings sorrow. that brings hurt, that brings withdrawal. People can get so taken up with this awful feeling of loneliness that they cut themselves off. They begin to mope. They withdraw. This is what happened to Elijah. He withdrew from the service of God. God never gave him any commission to go into the wilderness. But he took his eyes of the Lord and kept his eyes on that wicked woman Jezebel. And as a result, he has fled his post of duty. And it can bring despair. Elijah said, "That's enough. I'm no better than my father. Take away my life." That man who just a short while previous there on the mount showed that he was God's man for the nation. Now he's saying, "Take away my life." Brought him into that cave. Let me tell you what loneliness can do in a modern day. There was this man. He wasn't an old man. He was a young married man. He phoned a newspaper one day from a call box. He said, "There is someone bringing a message to you in an envelope giving you details of my suicide." That when the reporter who took the call heard that, he got frantic. He began to try to trace the call. The police were able to do it, but not in time. They got to the phone box where the call was made from, and they found him with a bullet in his head, slumped there of his own doing. They went through his pockets to try to find some identification, and they came across a little drawing made by his little girl. And on that drawing, he wrote, "Please bury this with me when you're burying me." Neighbors began to hear what had happened, and they were able to tell the awful story. The wee girl died 5 months previous in a fire. They said that he went out and asked total strangers to come to the wee girl's funeral so that she would have a nice funeral. He had no family of his own because his wife had died just 2 years after they were married. The loss of his family and the loneliness that followed was too much for him. He took his life. That's what loneliness can do. We've noticed something of the experience of loneliness. What a problem. But I want you to notice now the deliverance from loneliness. Let's take the case of Elijah. What's true here is generally true in the other cases. You'll find that he made his way to the cave. Would you turn again to 1 Kings 19 and notice in verse 9. "He came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him." The word of God found him there. God was in the cave with him. He was not left on his own. And God began to speak to him in the cave. You know what the Lord says? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So God began to deal with the man, first of all, in revealing his presence to him. Now, the same thing happened to Joshua whenever Moses was going to be removed. In chapter 31 of the book of Deuteronomy, the first 8 verses, Moses was saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to be taken now. Joshua is going to be your leader. You can imagine what that meant for Joshua. How am I going to lead these people? I have counted on Moses for so long. I have sought his instruction and guidance. What am I going to do now? And this is what God says he would do. Listen to these words in verse 7 and 8 of Deuteronomy 31. "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Why? God's presence will be with him. I referred you to Paul earlier. He said to Timothy, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. Then he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching may be fully known. I hadn't a friendly face about the place, but I was conscious that God was there. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, if you're hurting with loneliness tonight, this is the remedy. This is the cure, the major part of it. You need to come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You need to turn from your sins. You need to quit rebelling against the one who wants to be the best friend you could ever have, as well as being your Savior and your Master. You need to come into contact with the Lord Jesus. This is what we're learning from these references. The way these people were helped and rescued and delivered was by the presence of the Lord. Have you been running from him? Are you hardening your heart to him? He whom I've quoted earlier on that cross cried, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Why was he going through that? It was for us. It was for sinners and rebels, people who had sinned against him, had affronted him and slighted him. Therein lies your hope. First of all, make the friendship of Jesus Christ. Secure his friendship. People are lonely because maybe they can't find a friend and they seem to be left out of things. But the Lord Jesus is not like that. He wants you to take him into your life that he can bring you salvation, forgiveness, peace, and joy and companionship. That's the first thing tonight. Secure the presence of Christ. Obey his word. Trust him as your Savior. But there was a second thing here. Not only was there the fellowship with the Lord and contact with him, he had to get busy. Elijah had to get busy. He had to get out and about. Notice these words in verse 15 and 16 of 1 Kings 19. And the Lord said unto him, whenever he was feeling sorry for himself, notice that 14th verse. He said this twice in the narrative. Look at the last part of it. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I'm the only one. I have no fellowship or company in this battle. That's why he was lonely. He thought there was nobody else about. Well, the Lord has already dealt with him. He has ministered to him. And by the way, the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the strong wind. He wasn't in the fire. Those were mighty manifestations of God's power. But whenever you're lonely, it's not something impersonal you want. It's a person. And it's when the still, small voice of the Lord spoke. That's when Elijah grabbed his mantle and put his face in it in humiliation. And now God says to him, whenever Elijah's pleading, sorry for himself again, notice what verse 15 says. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, he was to do three things. He was to anoint Hazael, the king of Syria. He was to anoint Jehu to be a king. And he was to anoint Elisha to succeed him. In other words, God says, a cure for your loneliness is fellowship with me. Now get out and do something for me. Begin to serve me. Or else, get back to serve me. Friend, a great cure for loneliness is to try to help somebody else. Do you remember in Job chapter 42, and there's a man that suffered loneliness. He lost his family, and he lost the support of his wife, and he lost his health. But the Bible says, the Lord turned Job's captivity when he prayed for his friends. He might have said, well, I have my own troubles. I don't want to be helping anybody else. I need somebody to help me. He didn't do that. That's whenever he took an interest in others. And mind you, those friends, as somebody has well said, with friends like that, who needs enemies? They were his friends. They meant well at the beginning, but they said all kinds of untrue things about Job, trying to correct him and counsel him. And the man so bereft and so sorrowful with all his losses. But he began to pray for them, and it was then that his chains fell off. Somebody wrote, I went out to look for a friend. I found none out there. I went out to be a friend. I found friends everywhere. You can see the lesson. In seeking to help others, God will provide the need. The Bible says, a man that would have friends must show himself friendly. Is there somebody that you could make a telephone call to that's not as advantaged as what you are? Could you send somebody an email if you're a computer literate? Could you write a wee letter? Could you call and see a shut in? Could you go and stop by a few minutes and cheer them up a wee bit? All of these are things that can help your loneliness. Have you ever thought about asking anybody here, is there anything I can do to further the work of God in this place? Any amount of things that I'm sure will suit your gifts and talents and ability. But the point is, take the initiative. Get out and be of service to the Lord. So many different ways. But there was something else. Not only did he need to make contact with God. Not only did he need to do something by way of activity that was physical in the service of God. But he was to seek out Christian company. Notice verse 18. Well, if we notice the last part of verse 14, he says, that is, Elijah says, and I, even I only, am left. Now notice verse 18. God says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. God was just gently chiding his servant and correcting him. He says, Elijah, while you have done sterling service for me, you're not the only one that I have. I have 7,000 here, there, and yonder throughout the country. And they're true. They haven't given in to Baal worship. Now, it may be said, well, they weren't very conspicuous that Elijah didn't know anything about them. True. But still God knew who they were. And what he was saying that for was that Elijah needs to get out of this mode of thinking, this mentality, that I'm the only one doing anything for God. God says there are others, and he needed to get in touch with these people. And if you're a lonely person, you need to get right with God. You need to give your heart to Christ. You need to get saved. You need to get to Calvary. You need to get everlasting life. And then you need to start being active for God, even in the wee things that nobody knows about, helping these people, making these telephone calls, calling with these shut-ins or whatever. And look for God's people. You'll find them here every Sunday morning and Sunday night. You'll find them here every Wednesday night. If you're a young person, they can be seen every Friday night down here and every Saturday night and Sunday morning, Sunday school and Bible class. They're here. Or if it's some other church that you feel inclined to, they'll be there as well. But you need to get out in that company. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. I told you before, bears repeating here. Whenever I got converted, I would have gone to church on Sunday night. Big horseshoe gallery around the church. I only went to church because my parents made me go. I couldn't wait till I got out, got up the town, walked the town with the fellas afterwards, who didn't go to church, by the way, but I had to go. And I sat on one side of the horseshoe gallery over at that side and looked at the people over on this side and could see the Christian friends that I was in the Bible class with that Sunday afternoon. I couldn't wait to get away from church to get with the crowd. But God had been working with me over a period of time. And I can remember the Sunday night, 10:30, kneeling on the oilcloth, as it was called. The no name would be the fancy name, I suppose. No carpets in those days. And shivering with the flu, calling on the Lord to save me. Getting back into bed again, trying to get a warm position. No electric blankets in those days. Remembering this, whenever I get better of this flu and I go back to work, things are going to be different. Little did I know how different it would be. I began to go to church voluntarily. Still sat on my own. Looked across at those fellas. I said, that's my crowd over there. I should be with them, but would they want me? So one Sunday afternoon, after the Bible class was over, I went over to this young fella. He was a college boy from Portadown. And I said to him, Roy, I've got saved lately, and I was wondering, could I sit with you fellas in church tonight? He says, that's great news. He says, certainly sit with us. And listen, after church is over, stay with us. Be with us. What a help he was to me. A few weeks after that, his father was in business, was taken away to some other part of the country. Never met that young fellow again. Love to meet him sometime. Tell him how much the kind words meant to me as a young Christian. But I want to say, you take the initiative. If nobody's inviting you to come to church, you take the initiative and walk up to them and say, can I sit with you in church tonight? That's what happened to young Spurgeon. He got converted when he was 15 and a half years of age. He applied for a certain church. Nobody paid any notice of him. He wanted to join the church. He went to the minister, and he came to the minister, and the minister was in a study. He said, sir, I have talked to you before, and I have talked to your office bearers. I want to join your church. And the minister says, well, talk to me later about it. I'm busy now. And Spurgeon said, if you don't take time for me now, I'm going down to that church at the next meeting and proposing myself for membership. You may smile at that. But that shows how earnest the young boy Spurgeon was, that he wanted to be among God's people. It'll help your loneliness. We have looked at some of the experiences tonight and the deliverance. It lies in Christ. Contact and fellowship with him, serving him, and mingling with God's people. And I guarantee, if you subscribe to this and work it out in your life, you'll never have the awful bitterness of loneliness that you may have now. Now, that's not to say that you'll not have times of loneliness. We're all human. We can be lonely. But it'll not be chronic with us. It'll not lead to depression. It'll not lead to despair. Because we know there's a friend with us that sticketh closer than a brother, who will never leave us nor forsake us. You're suffering the problem. Get to the Lord Jesus tonight. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the friend of publicans and sinners.